Looking to get rewarded just for spending? With our You Choose debit card's reward program, you can earn points every time you swipe. Redeem your points for cash back, gift cards, travel, and more. It's your money. It pays to spend smarter. Enroll today and make your debit card work as hard as you do. Visit Security State Bank today and start earning with You Choose Rewards at no cost to you. Security State Bank, small enough to listen, big enough to help. Member FDIC.
This is the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, which Jack climbed all the way to a giant's castle. But Jack had whooping cough, which he gave to the giant. The giant coughed so hard it blew Jack right out the window. The end. Without vaccines, our stories wouldn't be the same. Thank a vaccine. Are your kids up to date? Learn more at immunizewyoming.com.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
The 2025 Sod Farm Festival is just around the corner, August 16th. Enjoy an amazing lineup of local musical talent, including the Kraft Brothers. This year's Sod Farm Fest benefits Sheridan Foster Parent Exchange and Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Join us at Greenside Up Sod Farm August 16th at 2 p.m. Tickets available now, $25 online and $30 at the gate. Children 12 and under are free. For more details, visit sodfarmfest.org.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Thursday, July 17th, a little over halfway through the month already. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. With us this morning are Sheridan County Commissioners Christy Haswell and Mike Arzee. We are also joined by the Mayor of Ranchester, Mr. Peter Clark. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So, how was your rodeo week? Commissioner Haswell, I'll start with you.
Oh, gosh. I don't have much news. My daughter had a hockey camp in Denver, so we missed the parade Friday morning. It was a little busy this summer with the kids.
Mr. Clark.
How was rodeo or how was the summer? My summer's going good.
Rodeo and summer.
Well, 4th of July is a big one for us.
Yeah.
So, that once we get past that, then we relax the rest of the summer. It's got a lot of construction going on with our water infrastructure project, you know, so that's probably half to two-thirds done now. And we're now waiting. We'll probably recess for a while to get pumps and stuff to rebuild our water intake plant. So it's been pretty busy, that part of it.
Yeah, a lot of work going on out there. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to the 4th of July, did you have a good turnout?
Yes, very good. It's always hard to tell. I mean, a lot of people came from out of state, even at the town hall. We had people from Golden, Colorado, and Miles City, and coming in just saying, and Casper and stuff coming off the mountain, coming down to visit us. So that has happened a lot the last couple of years, where people just drive, see we're having a little festival, and then stop, drive off the interstate and stop and have a hamburger or a taco or something and stay around for the 4th for the fireworks. So it's been really good.
That's fantastic. You know, when you said people out of state, I was expecting maybe a little some folks jaunting down from Montana, but Golden, Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Golden, yeah, that was kind of a surprise. I don't know why. I guess they got out of Colorado to come to Wyoming and decided this was the place to be for the fireworks. And they said, it's a small town, so they enjoyed it a lot. So we try to keep it that way.
My father said the same thing. That's actually what brought him over here way back in the day, he made fireworks out in the middle of nowhere because he figured if he blew himself up, he wouldn't hurt anyone.
Yeah. Well, we try to keep the death and destruction down to a minimum out there. No, it's good. You know, it's the fireworks, since we were the only ones in the county right now, that we kind of offer that as a incentive for people to come out and check out our small town, which is important to me.
And absolutely.
That's part of our job. So it's been a good summer. Now it's kind of, for us, it's kind of tapered down just to kind of routine activities. So.
The cyclical cycle, right? Mm-hmm. We're just going to come back to the same things all over again. Now we start to get ready for fall and winter.
Right. Yeah. Our next big thing would be our Christmas bazaar at the first weekend in December. So we'll start gearing up for that.
Yeah.
Next. And that's
don't say that.
Get a plan ahead like that stuff.
Already thinking snow.
Yeah.
Commissioner Arzee, how was your rodeo week?
That was good. I wasn't able to take in the parade because I can't stand Yeah, I
for
saw
very long on this broken leg, but outside of that, I took in some of the other stuff. And it was,
you don't mind how work out there working?
Still got to get the hay up.
Yep.
Still got to move cows. Still, you know, no matter what.
Yep.
Nothing can slow you down or stop you.
My father's 80-year-old man right now. Yep. Got himself a Mustang recently.
Oh, my gosh.
He was riding her back, pick up some cows, and he said she put her head down, and he knew the decision that she had already made. He's been laid up for a little while, but he refuses to stop. So I don't know. The old boy.
Hope he mends quickly.
So do I. I don't know what it is.
Or maybe he's safe where he's at right now for a couple months.
Laid up temporarily, but there's something about you old cowboys. You still got to get out there and get the work done.
Hopefully he didn't get a leg broke out of it.
Not a broken leg.
Yeah, that's good.
But
to hear.
He said at his age, he just ain't healing like he used to. And he said, well, you're not 20 years old anymore. You know?
I'm kidding.
You gentlemen, you just keep going and going. All right. So on to the next one. Did you attend the opening of the Brook Mine?
Yeah, there were a few of us there. Commissioner Arzy, Commissioner Wright.
I was there.
Was there as well. Yeah, it was a great celebration, and the weather cooperated. The rain stopped just before it started, so we were all happy about that.
Yeah. What did you think, Mr. Mayor?
It was pretty much what I expected. I mean, I haven't been over there to the site, so it was kind of impressive, the building and stuff, but it was quite the turnout of a lot of dignitaries in attendance there. So it was interesting. So,
Commissioner?
Oh, we did a little bit of prep work as far as the county was concerned. We were able to get the major hall shut off on that road to keep the dust down. And I got a hold of Rowdy and asked him to go out and get that road watered down good. And so that happened. And then I even got a hold of the guy that owns the pit. And he said, well, I'll just take the day off. And
well, he looked forward
so
to that,
he
didn't
just
he?
Shut the gates, and that helped a bunch, you know, with, you know, keeping the traffic, you know. Well, that's a narrow bridge and a sharp corner right there. And I was thinking, man, we're going to have challenges with that. And so we were able to overcome that. And I had a pretty good time there. It was real, you know, interesting.
Yeah.
All of the speeches and stuff that were pretty interesting. Where they were going with it and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, this mine. This project has really brought a lot of national attention to Sheridan County for the first time in quite some time. Rare earth potential out there. There is a concern from conservation groups like Sheridan Conservation District and the Powder River Basin Resource Council about certain water impacts. Commissioner Hanswell, what oversight role does the commission have or should have in ensuring water safety for residents and agriculture when it comes to these situations?
Yeah, you know, so beyond a rezone or a conditional use permit, that's kind of where our oversight stops. And that happened, back in 2016 or 17, I believe, when that rezone for Ramaco happened. And it's been pretty quiet out there. I think they've been working on some of the carbon fiber technology research. They were building their facility out there. So it's been really quiet on the mining side. And I'm not sure with the rare earths discovery when they'll start mining, but I guess back to your question, we really try to stay out of the lane of the DEQ and the EPA. I mean, that's their responsibility.
Okay. So do they send you reports or updates or anything like that to at least try to keep the commission in the loop?
You know, no. I think maybe 5 or 6 years ago when they had an office in town still, I met with them and they shared some of their carbon fiber technology. And it's not just carbon fiber. There's a couple other products that they were looking at producing. But since then, and getting an understanding of that branch of their business, we haven't had any conversations with them.
What about the DEQ or these conservation groups when it comes to reporting to the commission, kind of trying to keep you guys in the loop or up to date? Do they give reports on anything?
No.
No.
No. Yeah, there's no requirement that they do so.
Commissioner Arzee, as a fiscal conservative, how do you balance the economic opportunities of things like, I mean, rare earth development? Holy cow, I didn't even know we had these things in the ground up there. With potential long-term costs of environmental remediation, especially concerning water quality and well projects. As a cowboy, a ranch man, someone who understands the value of waters better than most, how do you do that?
Well, first off, I can also attest to there's another mine that's up north that they're reclaiming right now, and that was Decker Coal. And that is right down on the Tongue River, you know, for the most part. And they were monitored on their water expulsion for their entire existence out there at East Decker.
Yeah.
And they never had one failing test ever on water quality. And so they're very stringent. The DEQ gets involved, and it's a very stringent process. And I really feel fairly confident in that, you know, that entity actually, you know, being the watchdog on things like that. I worked around them before in several different instances, and they're very professional, and they get right after it. So I'm confident in them. Also, as far as the mining, this rare earth thing is, yeah, it's a real new concept. But correct me if I'm wrong, Christy, but the subliminal message that we were getting, it was every speaker out there was, we have to do something to eliminate China's stranglehold on that commodity on a world scale, and we can't be at their mercy with this, because it has everything to do with technology and everything to do with everything that we're doing. So this is a big push to try and get the United States back on, you know, plus, you know, it's going to boost our economy here in Sheridan as well. So I look for good things to happen from this. I think that the fail safes will be there. I think that they're going to be watched, you know, and they're going to be accountable. So
yeah,
I look for a good outcome from this is what I look for.
Now, I'm not a miner. And I don't really delve too far into that world. My father was for many, many years. He worked for J.R. Simplot, Smoky Canyon Mine. Sulfate is what they pulled out of the ground. And I used to go up there when I was a little kid and look at that major operation. A major operation. They were fantastic at coming through and basically reclaiming the land. And in many situations, they left it better than they found it. My father took me up to an area, middle of a forest. You would have never guessed that there was ever a mining operation there. And he said, we have mined this entire area. And it was impressive to see. Now, the trees weren't too high, but they were going to get there. So that is one thing that I do want folks to know. When it comes to, you know, reclaiming the land and making sure that it's taken care of, this isn't a movie. It's not all everyone's villains. They actually, at least J.R. Simplot, that I know of, really took care of that area. And they continue to mine it to this day. So, as we go through these conversations, don't think that this is some sort of attack, because it's not. What I want people to understand is that we are worried about water quality. We got to keep an eye out for our agriculture department. We've got to keep an eye out for the interests of the residents of Sheridan County as well. Now, have there been discussions around the potential impacts to the Tongue and Slater Creek at all?
I'm not aware of any as it relates to the rezone.
Okay.
So that would be a part of their mine permit, and that's where they would address those items.
Okay. Now, have your officers, received adequate communication? Well, I think the answer is no on that next question as well.
Correct.
Yeah, you've received no communication from Ramaco or the state regarding water monitoring, emergency plans, or potential downstream consequences.
And, you know, maybe that's something we can ask for in the future as they begin mining operations. But, you know, as we talked about, it's been pretty quiet, as I think they've tried to get their ducks in a row over the last 7-8 years.
So essentially, we may not be to that part yet.
I don't know if we are. Yeah. I know they've done some testing, obviously. That's how they figured out the rare earths. But I don't know how much actual mine they have. I don't believe they've started the actual mining process.
Actually, they have.
Have they? Okay.
Yeah, about just above Taylor Quarry.
Okay. Okay.
Right there.
Back behind there.
And they are stripping right now.
You know, at the thing, they had you can see the coal. That's being mined. It's on the top of that hill there.
Yeah.
You can see from the interstate. So
okay.
That does happening. And like for us, since we're downstream, they're all downstream from us. That's not the impact we're concerned about. It's the growth potential. So Ranchester went through this back in the 70s when they built the coal mines, originally when they had the sudden growth.
Yeah.
And so they overbuilt our infrastructure to handle 2,500 people, which is good for us. We've never reached that number yet, but we're growing into it. So we're redoing our water project is designed to extend our life on our water treatment plant and handle growth. We'll run out of potential to process water within 25 years. We have the water rights, but those kind of projects take a long time to put together and do that. So we can handle the growth to a point, but depending on how much there is. Right now, in the last year and a half, we had 57 lot subdivision, and all but about 5 lots have been built on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're growing at about 4% a year already. So it's for us, that's kind of a steady growth. But if we have another big influx, we did go through a period where we had 11%, so we're concerned about that, So we're looking down the road 10 years, because I think it's going to take 5 to 10 years to really start developing this. But if it happens all at once, we could be, because we are close proximity, we're only about 7 miles from there. It's basically halfway between Ranchester and Sheridan. The north end of Sheridan. We pick up a lot of as we turn from a agricultural community to a bedroom community, there's different pressures on us, but we are in pretty good shape because of a previous coal boom.
Yeah.
So it's kind of ironic. We're going to go through this whole cycle. And I did work when I was at the opening, I was thinking, I did work at Bighorn Coal as a tipple attendant at mine, a car dropper and a oiler on an overburden rig out of college. So that's a whole area that's already been mined. It's interesting to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you dug deep enough in those hills above like Slater Creek and up in that area, you'll find, it used to be you'd be able to see old strip mines from Kiewit back in the 40s. They were still, and they had not been reclaimed. They look like it was pretty interesting. They have since been reclaimed, but you still also have underground fires. You also have subsidence, all those things that are going on in that area. So our concern is not so much the environmental impact, but probably the social economic impact to us as a town.
Yeah.
Being that close to them and being, we're a little bit more flexible in the city of Sheridan as far as construction and building and costs. So we're attractive to developers. So the process would we'd need to add somebody who'd come in and annex more land into town. And there's potential for that. Then we have to get into the development process going through the state and water quality and whether or not we can actually provide the goods and services for an additional growth.
Mayor Clark, have you heard about employment numbers? Any
no,
potential?
I haven't heard any more.
Yeah.
Has anyone from Ramaco even come down and spoke to the Ranchester City Council or yourself?
Well, we have a former council member that's working as a consultant for them, so I'll probably tap into him. But no, the only contact I've had with Ramaco has had to do with a natural gas project a number of years ago. When we were building it out there, they were discussing whether or not I could provide, the Timber Valley Joint Powers Board could provide natural gas to the mine site. But as it is right now, we couldn't, or back then still can't do it. But there is a 2-inch gas line up to the port of entry, so it would come that way for MDU.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the only contact I've ever had with them.
Yeah.
But that was entirely different. That was when they're still way early in their planning process.
Well, we may be early in that planning process now. Ramaco hasn't reached out yet to our governing bodies, but that doesn't mean that they won't or they don't have plans to do so. And that's one thing that I do want to express to people.
I think they want to be a good neighbor.
I think they do too.
Yeah.
They kind of have been up to this point, to my knowledge.
Yeah, I have no complaints, but it's like I say, it might be premature on their part you know, I don't know how much industrial secrets they have or for their processing or anything like that. And what there is it proprietary? I don't know, that sort of thing. But I also don't know the whole, I know about coal mining, but not everything.
Yeah,
rare earth mineral mining.
Yeah, who knows what that actually might entail in the long run.
Yeah, and you know, one of your comments earlier is that, yes, we did make national news. And, you know, that comments I got, well, I heard you guys were on the Fox News. Okay, I wasn't. Our zip code was.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's been that aspect of it is kind of interesting because I did look it up on Fox News to see the storyline, but it was.
Well, and one thing that I do want to say is I completely agree with the idea of becoming much more independent from foreign, you know, elements and rare earth minerals. All anyone has to do is look back at the rubber troubles of World War II. And you suddenly realize that, yeah, we should kind of be doing this ourselves a little bit more. But I think contact with local governing bodies should have been done, in my opinion, a little earlier before the blustering, because I feel that perhaps this has become a little political, and in my opinion, we have to think about the people first.
Yeah, and I mean, to that point, I'm curious with this discovery, if, you know, how does that change how their mining plan? Are they phasing things differently? Is there a certain percentage of coal that's going to go to rare earths? What's just still going to be sold as coal, as energy? And then what's going to be going into their technologies? So as a commissioner, I would just have those sort of questions just in terms of the socioeconomic impacts and how that happens over time.
You feel Ranchester could accept, and who knows how many individuals would be coming up there. What would Ranchester have to do to accommodate that? And I do have to take a quick commercial break, but I just wanted to get that answer from you.
Well, there are limitations that we can do that the state will require us to deal with, like how much water can we produce, how much sewage can we process. You know, those are things, those are the choke points in any kind of community. So depending, if, you know, we've had developers come and want to annex in 250 acres in the town, and we said, well, you can annex it, but we won't let you develop it until we either have another access road or we can prove that we can provide the sewer and water to it. So that's the infrastructure thing we're concerned about. Mm. So we do have limitations.
Yeah. All right. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with the Sheridan County Commission in the town of Ranchester right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
Have you heard of the Sunrise Ruby? A 25-carat gem hiding in plain sight, quietly kept by European aristocrats, until it shocked the world, selling for $30 million. Named after a 13th-century poem, its pigeon's blood red color and flawless clarity stunned experts. Rubies are romantic, passionate, mysterious, and unlike the Sunrise Ruby, surprisingly affordable. Find your own gem at Legacy Diamond and Gems, where every piece tells a story. Visit us at 11 North Main, downtown Sheridan.
Are you ready to take your lawn mowing to the next level? Hendo Service Center brings you Bad Boy mowers, built to last with the promise that you'll be mowing with an attitude. As a bad boy, you're not just making grass shorter. You're mowing with power, precision, and pride. Check out Hando's Bad Boy lineup, from commercial to residential mowers. Find the model that fits your yard. Hendo Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive. Get your Bad Boy mower and teach that lawn a thing or two.
This is the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, which Jack climbed all the way to a giant's castle. But Jack had whooping cough, which he gave to the giant. The giant coughed so hard it blew Jack right out the window. The end. Without vaccines, our stories wouldn't be the same. Thank a vaccine. Are your kids up to date? Learn more at immunizewyoming.com.
In Buffalo, Wyoming, you don't fall for parking lot promises and handshake hustles from fly-by-night Johnnies who might sell you a lemon and vanish by sundown. At Prime Rate Motors, we've been rooted right here for years. Built on trust, not tricks. Locals know if you want real wheels and real deals, you come to the folks who live where they sell. Prime Rate Motors. No gimmicks, no fast stock, just fair deals, solid rides, and folks will still be here tomorrow. 2305 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan. Prime Rate Motors. Wyoming owned and Wyoming proud.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, I'm speaking with Sheridan County Commissioners Christy Haswell and Mike Arze. We are also joined by the mayor of Ranchester, Mr. Peter Clark. Now, we're going to switch gears on you. Sheridan County Fair in Sheridan is scheduled for July 25th through August 4th. This is going to be taking place at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds. Where else would it go? How are the facilities up at the fairgrounds? I got to thinking about some stuff the other day that almost broke my heart, and that is, if we look at a building built in the 1920s, mm-hmm. it's 100 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did the time go? Not like I was around in the 20s, but, you know, to think that there might be some buildings out there
yeah.
that are a century old.
Yeah. So Kimber Solberg is our fairgrounds director, and she does a great job up there. She actually just reported to us Monday at staff. They're still doing cleanup after the YO rodeo, and then they're getting ready for a youth rodeo this weekend, a college rodeo. And then, of course, they have county fair coming up. And so getting everything polished up again, ready for the next big event. It's a big lift. They do a nice job. And we had heard lots of compliments from folks about how nice the grounds were over YO rodeo. But yeah, a lot of those buildings out there are old. And so, Kimber's been really cognizant of what can we fix and how can we fix it and where potentially could we find funding if these are historically listed buildings.
Yeah.
It's a tightrope for sure. 'Cause you can't just go in and throw a bathroom in wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's ways you've got to do it. So, and Kimber's worked with, our Historic Preservation Committee some on some of those buildings and what can be done to upgrade them.
You know, and where do we draw the line about that? Wow, we got to upgrade this particular facility or this particular building, but it's got major historical significance. Commissioner Arze.
Yeah, this is a tough one. You know, you look at it and it's going down memory lane, you know, and stuff when, this is one of the rodeos I used to hit when I was in PRCA, you know, and it's a tough one. It's like it is, but, you have to look at it. Is it serving the needs of the people?
Yeah.
And right now it's not. And we've got to do some stuff to get it cleaned up. Your venue has to match your events. You know, you have to have that. And so we got to work at this. We really do. We have to improve our fairgrounds. And we know that, you know, we're going to have to do that. But we have to also combine anything of historical value into mm-hmm. any improvements, like Christy said. It's a tightrope. So how do you do this? But we do have to change with the times and upgrade. Definitely, there's that stuff.
Yeah, the board did recently agree to purchase a metal building that's going to go for additional uses, that we just needed some more indoor space, some more flexibility. We think the community is going to be able to use it as well.
Kind of a general use facility.
Yes.
You know? Yep.
But indoor and just because some of those older buildings are just too small.
Yeah.
And some of our youth programs are growing. And the community, we use the exhibit hall for indoor soccer in the winter for kids. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's not just ag use up there.
Yeah.
So
they're utilizing it in any way that we can.
Well, there's archery going on up there. Indoor soccer, like she said, you know, back in the day, there used to be roller skating going on in there too.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's, it's, it, it's provides an area that we try to reach out to the entire public of Sheridan County in some form or another. So we have to broaden and expand, you know, that kind of thing, you know, as well. But the anemones thing that I was talking about, this building's going to be great, but, you know, we've got a horse barn that we've got to do something about too, you know, and, you know, we've got a pretty good livestock barn, you know, for the cows and stuff there. It's not bad. It's in better shape, but, you know, some of the heavy hitters that I talk to nationally, they kind of cringe at having some kind of a national event
in the facility.
Yeah, because we don't have the, you know, where am I going to stall my horses? And then they've got that, or geez, how can we handle 250 head of cows, or you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, there's things that we really, you know, have to really address in order to make things make the fairgrounds as what it's really kind of starting to be designed to be.
Yeah, yeah. And the community's kind of making that decision.
Exactly. They are.
You know, yeah. Last year, the kids ended up raising over $600,000 during that youth sale. I mean, that is not an amount to shake a stick at. Agriculture is huge in the area.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And our FFA and our 4-H certainly do prove that with all the work that these kids do. Are there ways to expand counter resources for rural youth development beyond Fair Week?
You know, so right now we help support the UW Extension, which is 4-H. And so we do provide some funding there, but that's really the only place right now where we currently, other than, you know, money towards the fairgrounds for upkeep, maintenance, and operations.
That would be kind of the Sheridan Commission's contribution to the entire thing, both the extension and we'll take care and monitor and maintain the fairgrounds.
Yeah. Yep.
And so this new facility, when will this go in?
You know, I'm not sure about the timing. I think they were working on maybe getting some bids on the concrete work because they'll need to put the foundation in for it. Nick's our liaison to that board. So other than just knowing that we're buying the building as we were going through our budgeting process, I'm not sure beyond that. Yeah, I'd have to ask Kimber or Nick.
Okay, next time I got Nick in here, I'm going to nail him to the floor until he gives me an answer.
All right.
You know, I hate to say it, but I've run out of time with you folks. I had probably two more pages of questions that I wanted to ask you, but time is time. I apologize. I look forward to seeing both of you again in the future. Mr. Mayor, you and I have got to have a further conversation. I'd love to schedule something with you at a later date.
Sure. Anytime.
Thank you, folks. I greatly appreciate
it. Thanks,
Floyd.
Thanks,
Floyd. Talking to you.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Chief Executive Officer of the Wyoming Business Council. Stay with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You're on the go, and so should your banking.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or on the First Federal app.
It's banking on your time wherever you are.
Plus, we're celebrating 90 years of community commitment, proudly serving Sheridan and the people who make it great.
Banking made easy with the community at heart.
Visit efirstfederal.bank to get started today. First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years strong, member FDIC.
Owning a home can be a little complicated and sound like a lot of work. What do you think, Jill?
That's true, Colton, but those things that we work hard for are often worth it. Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates Team at Best, and we know that being a homeowner isn't easy.
And this is Colton Bates. We also know that there's a great level of pride, freedom, and control you have as a homeowner.
Whether it's having the best lawn in the neighborhood or knowing that you're creating equity in your home, there are so many positives to owning.
It's a great feeling to care for something of your own, so let us help make the new home process as smooth as possible. Call 675-BEST and visit bestwy.net.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Have your dryer vents been cleaned recently? As a leading cause of home fires, Captain Clean recommends dryer vent cleaning every 6 months. Our specialized equipment allows us to reach every inch of your dryer vent to ensure peace of mind. Call Captain Clean today at 672-0726 and sign up for our fire protection plan, where we pre-schedule the dryer vent cleanings for you so you never forget. Call Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
Mark your calendars, Sheridan. Something lucky is landing soon. Lucky Sevens Gaming Parlor, the first one in the state, on Coffeen Avenue. We're bringing you the latest gaming experience. From high-stakes games to nail-biting horse racing action. And when you're ready for a break, step into our new full-service bar for a cold drink and happy-go-lucky vibes. You've got the charm, and we've got your Lucky Sevens. Check us out at LuckySevensWY.com. Must be 21 or older to play. Please game responsibly.
Doug, my summer checklist is growing faster than my yard.
Let me guess. Oil change, new tires, maybe a good detail for your vehicle. Waring Chevrolet is full-service dealership. We can handle it all, Bob.
Tires first. Mine look like marshmallows.
Well, we got a price match guarantee on top brand tires.
For that oil change and tune-up?
Our experts will have it running smooth.
And that dent, let's just say I'm at a picnic table?
Our collision center will fix it up, and our detailing shop will make it shine like new.
Waring Chevrolet, it's the only stop you need this summer. 107 East Alger online, waringsheridan.com.
Hi, I'm Taylor, front of house manager at Fraggletons. You know, every day on Main Street brings new faces and familiar friends through our doors, and each one deserves something special. At Fraggletons, it's not just about the food, it's about the feeling. Our team is here to make sure every bite, every sip, and every moment feels just right. Whether you're celebrating a big day or just enjoying the little things, we'd love to be a part of it. It's not just about the food, it's about the feeling. Book your table now at Fraggletons.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I am joined by Chief Executive Officer of the Wyoming Business Council, Mr. Josh Durrell. Good morning, sir, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Floyd. Thanks for having me.
Now, for those who may not know, can you please give us a brief explanation of the Wyoming Business Council's mission and how you work to accomplish that throughout the Cowboy State.
Yeah, thanks, Floyd. Our mission is really simple. It's to create opportunities for Wyomingites now and into the future. And we find that building strong economies in our communities is a way to make it so that businesses can thrive. And we think about it like if businesses are thriving and people have opportunities to improve their lives, then their families are going to thrive. And really that kind of makes the whole world go round. So we see it as a way to really kind of look at the economy of Wyoming and make those tweaks that are necessary to help us be competitive in the nation and in the world.
Now, can you give us a brief overview of probably one of the most popular programs that you have, and that's the Business Ready Community, or the BRC grant and loan program?
That's right. That is it's a grant and loan program that communities can use to build public infrastructure and publicly owned assets that then the business community benefits from. And so, Sheridan area has had a number of those projects in the past. Things like Weatherby and Kinnon and High Tech Business Park, that first phase and then the future phases of that are all utilizing what we call Business Ready Communities funds. And I think the name is actually very appropriate. However, everybody gets stuck on that business part. They think we're giving money to businesses when really what we're providing money for are projects within a community that the community owns. And I think that's just a distinction that's important.
Now, can you cite a couple examples of how this has been utilized in the past by Wyoming communities?
Oh, yeah. As I mentioned, the projects like the high-tech business park there in Sheridan are some examples. And then the thing that I think people don't understand is that the community actually owns those facilities that companies like Weatherby and Kinnon Products are utilizing. And then those companies are paying leases back to the community. So the money really all stays in the community. But I'll tell you about a couple other projects that are really pretty interesting down in the Casper area. One in particular is a project to unlock an industrial park. And we put the water and sewer line to that particular park because the community did not have the money to do it. They just didn't have the tax revenue in order to do it. And so the state came in and said, hey, this is going to unlock a lot of growth. It's going to allow a business to come in, employ 250 people with great paying jobs. We think it's a good investment for the state to put in that water and sewer line that the community really couldn't do.
Now, when it comes to receiving one of these loans, this is pretty competitive, isn't it? A lot of communities put in for this.
Yeah, it's competitive in that there's a small amount of money that the legislature appropriates to us every biennium, and then what we try to do is vet out the best projects that are going to provide the biggest impact to a community, but also the highest ROI for the state. It's a hard thing to do and just say, oh, we're going to spread it like peanut butter all over the state, because that doesn't really make a difference. So what we've been doing is trying to find the best projects, and those are the ones that create the most jobs, that unlock the most potential for growth, and we can see making a positive impact on the Wyoming economy into the future.
Now, as of May 21st of this year, the Wyoming Business Council leadership, yourself involved, approved a sweeping overhaul of these rules, correct?
That is correct. The rules that govern the Business Ready Communities program are something that my team is continually working to improve so that we can really, you know, frankly, fix some of the challenges that Wyoming's fiscal system has. And one of the things that we noticed is that doing a project within the community, it's a great thing. We're going to continue to do those. But one of the missing elements was the ability to build capacity and have revenue available for future projects. And so as we looked at our rules, we said, well, we need to really look at what can the community bring to the table to make sure they have skin in the game, that they have public buy-in, and that they're really a partner in this. And it's not the state saying, hey, you should do this project, which it never really is. But when we bring the big check to the table, that's kind of how it can feel. And so one of the big changes that we made was requiring a 25% match from the community. That could be the county, the municipality, or a joint powers board to do a project. They'll need to come up with 25% of the money for that project. That's a big deal from, again, that buy-in, that public support, and really kind of showing that the community truly wants this project and believes in it. Now, the other thing that we did, go ahead.
Please go ahead. You may answer the question I was going to ask.
Well, potentially. The next thing that we looked at is we're really trying to get communities to focus in on what are the binding constraints to growth. Like, what is stopping their growth, and how can we use state money to do those infrastructure projects that fix the growth problem that they experience? Not necessarily for the like-to-have, the nice little projects in a community that make us feel great, but really get down into the infrastructure needs of, you know, water, sewer, business parks. What are the things that are stopping your growth, and how can we as a state address that?
I was actually just speaking with the mayor of Ranchester, Mr. Peter Clark, with this new 25% local match. It seems like a move to increase that local buy-in, which I completely understand. But what would you say to small rural communities like Ranchester that may struggle to meet that bar?
Well, you know, I don't think it's only going to be Ranchester that struggles to meet that bar. And we did set the bar high. I do think that rural communities are going to be challenged by that. We just did a project down in a smaller community in the southeast of the state. And one of the things that they did, they actually brought 40% of the project, 40% of the money they needed for that project. And so I think it's possible. I don't think they're going to be doing huge projects. But we do have a few mechanisms. If there's a really fantastic project that we can all really buy into, we can. There are some workarounds, like taking part of that grant as a loan and things like that. But ultimately, what we want to create is self-reliance in all of our communities. And if you're not able to bring 25% to the table for a project, I think what that does is it indicates a bigger problem with our fiscal system at the local level, and that they just don't have the revenue they need to grow. Mm-hmm. And so if they don't have the revenue to bring 25% to the table to grow, we're really kind of we're in a bit of a challenge there, because that means they're not self-sufficient. And what we want to do for all communities, rural and the larger communities, is to create a level of self-sufficiency that they just don't have today.
What types of barriers have you seen in the past and would actually qualify to help get this loan through? So let's just kind of switch to an example, like in Sheridan County. How will the WBC help communities define those barriers to economic growth?
Well, for example, one of the barriers that we have in Wyoming is that cluster development, or the number of employers in a particular area. And I think Sheridan County is a really good, and Sheridan in particular, is a really good example of the manufacturing cluster, that light manufacturing cluster that's been developed. And we can see that availability of jobs as a barrier to growth. So the more manufacturing jobs we can bring to an area, the better that cluster is going to go. And so as one of the examples is the high-tech business parks that we're helping to fund, those are opening up availability of land that's ready to build on for a business to come in and do that. And again, manufacturers tend to want to be around manufacturers, because that clustering effect is very powerful in developing a workforce and being able to make that workforce mobile.
Now, the BRC isn't exactly the only program. Are there other more flexible programs that could support strategies in place for those limited budget communities?
Well, for us, we have the Business Ready Communities program, and that is ultimately right now the tool that we're using in communities to help with that infrastructure or to remove a barrier to growth. And that barrier to growth could be housing. It could be how do we help get infrastructure to a housing development, even things like that. If we recognize that's a problem, we don't have any other particular programs. And what we're working to do with the local leadership is to say, what tools do you have? Are there other mechanisms for investments that you can utilize? And there are tools that locals have access to, but sometimes they're a little hard to get put in place because they might represent, getting money from the electorate and doing it as an additional tax to be able to fund some of these projects that are going to help them grow and stay relevant into the future. And I think it's one of those things that we get pretty upset about the word tax, but really what we're doing is we're investing in our future and looking at how do we make sure we're relevant and we're competing, 10, 20 years down the road when our kids are looking for opportunities.
Absolutely. And I've seen communities essentially give themselves either facelifts or change the landscape entirely based off of 1 cent taxes that would eventually sunset. The community really invested its money. They put their money where their mouth was, essentially. And I watched multiple roads be put in and watched a lot of improvement happen pretty quickly over something like that. So as you said, it's not always a dirty word. It is something that, if used correctly, could really transform a community. I'm running out of time with this, sir. So how does a community apply for the BRC? And are there deadlines to this?
Yeah, typically we work on a quarterly fashion. Our board of directors will ultimately make a recommendation to the state loan and investment board. That's the 5 elected. So we do that quarterly. And reaching out to the Wyoming Business Council regional directors is always your first best bet. So if you go to wyomingbusiness.org, you'll find the contact information for the regional director that covers your county. And the community leaders typically know who they are and can work with them to develop an application. One other thing I would like to mention, Floyd, if it's okay, is that we're really trying to get as much public comment as possible on these new rule changes. Because we want to hear from people about what their challenges might be or what ideas they might have. And so if folks could go to wyomingbusiness.org and look for those BRC rules and make comments on them, we would really love to see that. We have until July 27th to make those those comments, and we want to read them, understand them, and really, again, make a program that is going to push Wyoming into the future, but at the same time, respect where we are today.
And when people make a comment on that, do you have like a fact sheet or something that folks can actually access to kind of get the real quick 411 on everything that has been changed?
You nailed it. We do have kind of a short list, a condensed version, so you don't have to go through and read all of the legalese, and that's available on that wyomingbusiness.org website.
Fantastic. And Mr. Durrell, I'm going to make that available to as many people as I can later today, folks, so you can get on there. You can check out these new rules to the BRC, a program that has been pretty successful throughout the entire Cowboy State, helping us with our economic development. Mr. Durrell, I want to thank you so much for calling and taking the time out of your very busy day to speak with us. I greatly appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Another great summer event is coming up soon, the Sheridan County Fair.
Fair and livestock exhibitions are the foundation for agricultural promotion and a time to remind everyone of the key role that agriculture plays in our local economy and daily lives. It provides opportunities for youth and adult education.
The First Federal Bank and Trust family would like to extend congratulations to all the youth who work so hard all year long to be able to show at the County Fair. Community is the heart of First Federal.
First Federal Bank and Trust, true community banking, member FDIC.
Can you bake a pie? Maybe you're someone with gardens and cans and your own vegetables. If you do arts, crafts, and culinary, show off your talents by being a part of the Sheridan County Fair Open Class Exhibits. No need to enter early. Just come into the Fairgrounds Exhibit Hall July 31st between 8 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. to enter. Open to Sheridan County, Wyoming residents, plus Bighorn, Powder River, and Rosebud counties in Montana. Youth and adults can all be a part of the fair.
Would you like to hear people more clearly in noise? Hi, this is JT Kraft with EBIA Hearing and Sound. Today's smart hearing aid technology can improve your ability to understand speech in noisy environments better than ever. These prescriptive medical devices have a 40-hour rechargeable battery life, they're waterproof, Bluetooth compatible, and more. Why struggle to hear? Get a hearing test and try a free hearing aid demo today. EBIA Hearing and Sound, 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
Here's what customers are saying about Sheridan Auto Spa.
Quick scheduling, great communication, excellent results on my car with great service.
My car's interior looks brand new.
Craig and his crew did an amazing job. I'll be using them again.
Experience the high-quality detailing work that Craig and his team at Sheridan Auto Spa deliver. Book online at SheridanAutoSpa.com. For the month of July, save 10% on any service. Sheridan Auto Spa, where every detail counts, behind Midas and Sheridan. The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
If whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting over, make sure you aren't empty-handed by using Sheridan Community Land Trust's Sheridan County Water Supply Report. Get the latest information about drought, precipitation, snowpack, stream flows, reservoir capacity, temperature and precipitation outlook, and more delivered to your inbox for free each month. Sign up under the land tab at SheridanCLT.org.
It is Thursday, and that means it's time for Hop Eyes on SheridanMedia.com. Right now, you can head over there and find deals for up to 50% off of retail value. This week, we have dining gift certificates, service gift certificates, merchandising gift certificates, and a bunch more. You can find whatever it is you're looking for, all from local Sheridan retailers, and they all start at half off of retail value. Head over right now to SheridanMedia.com and click on the Hop Eyes button and place your bids. Hurry, though, bidding ends tonight at 8 p.m.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM, KROE.
KROE, Sheridan.